Alexander, welcome back.
Delighted to be with you again.
So he opens up his piece. I want to make one or two points for you to ponder while I'm in jail. I hope that one possible good effect of my imprisonment might be to coalesce opposition to the imminent abolition of jury trials in sexual assault cases by the Scottish government, a plan for which Lady Dorian, who wears too many hats in all of this, is front and center. You cannot judge the validity of a system simply by high conviction rates. What we want is a system where the innocent are innocent and the guilty found guilty, not where an arbitrary conviction target is met. Some people listening to this might see what's happening to Craig Murray as inside baseball, or for you, maybe inside cricket. Explain the larger context of his imprisonment.
Right, well, first of all, I should say that he is a personal friend of mine, so I have that interest, but it's not just that. I mean, it was a profoundly shocking decision, and I can also say something which is briefly that the entire legal establishment, in London at least, is shocked by this decision. It was universally assumed that the Supreme Court would actually hear his appeal, and the fact that they refused to do it has provoked complete incredulity. Now, Craig Murray has been a thorn in the side of the British establishment for a long time. He was ambassador to Uzbekistan, as you said. He was a whistleblower who exposed a lot of the torture that was going on during the so-called War on Terror, George W. Bush and Tony Blair's War on Terror. The British government tried to frame him by claiming that he was involved in sexual misconduct. He then was completely cleared and exonerated, but had to leave the Foreign Office. He set up this blog. It's an incredibly successful, very widely read blog in Britain. And they've been out to get him ever since. And they've now got him, and they've got him on this. And you're absolutely right. He's the first person in Britain to be convicted on this utterly obscure and very mysterious charge of jigsaw identification. And it's been framed in such a way, the way that he's been convicted, that it makes it extremely difficult to see now. How you can report a trial involving allegations of sexual assault in which the court has made an order for anonymity on the part of some of the witnesses, how you can report it with any degree of clarity without falling foul of this law, because nobody really knows where the boundaries are. And of course, this next step that he's talking about, which is being heavily promoted in Scotland, to do away with jury courts, is absolutely correct. Lady Dorian is pushing it, and she is pushing it. She was also the trial judge in a recent highly political case involving the former First Minister of Scotland, Alex Salmond. And Alex Salmond was accused of various sexual assault allegations. The jury threw all the claims against him out. They said that there was no foundation to them. Craig Murray reported that those allegations might have been concocted, and that's been the basis upon which he's now been sent to prison. So in future, it's going to be very difficult to report a case like Alex Salmond's accurately, and in future, a defendant like Alex Salmond might not have the protection of being tried by a jury. And it's increasingly looking as if the authorities in Britain are now turning to sex allegation charges as a mechanism both to smear and to imprison people who have engaged in dissident political activity. It was done to Julian Assange. It was done without much success so far against Alex Salmond. And now Craig Murray has been indirectly destroyed through this, because he is supposed to have engaged in jigsaw disclosure of the accusers in Alex Salmond's case. So that, I hope, has provided an overview of this, what this case is about.
Yes, and you know, people have been saying that recently the U.S. and England are slipping into authoritarianism. But when we look at overturning legal foundations that are centuries old, when we look at the Official Secrets Act, and as one of the things that he brings up is that the concept now that they want to actually enshrine in law that bloggers and that, you know, online publishers would be held to a different standard than the mainstream media, and that would be a higher standard. When we look at what's happening with Assange, et cetera, you know, it's hard to push back on the rhetoric. Not hard. There's no reason to push back on the rhetoric that we're hearing now about slipping into authoritarianism, particularly the Official Secrets Act. A person like you who reports on things that hit the mainstream media, the stuff that was found, the official documents that were found at a park bench or a bus stop or whatever it is in Kent. They were important. However, now you made a video about it. I made a video. We talked about it. You could literally go to jail for many, many years. You could be treated the same as a spy just for reporting on that stuff. Your thoughts on all of that, Alexander?
Absolutely correct. That's entirely right, because the British government has just published what it calls a consultation paper, which it precedes legislation. This consultation exercise lasted just 6 weeks, so nobody's given a real opportunity to comment on it, in which it actually says that publishing classified information by a journalist that comes into that journalist's possession is equated with spying for a foreign power. So you are treated, you're going to be treated in exactly the same way as if you were a spy. So there's not going to be a public interest defense. The British government again says that there will be no public interest defense either for a whistleblower or for a journalist who publishes this kind of classified information. So that's going to make journalism incredibly dangerous. And you're completely correct. This is the other thing that's now coming out, and it came out in the Craig Murray case, is that Lady Dorian, who was the trial judge who presided over Craig Murray's trial and Alex Salmond's trial, has now floated this distinction between mainstream press, as she calls it, mainstream media, and those she calls not mainstream, in other words, bloggers, independent media, whoever. And the bloggers, independent media, and all the rest are much more likely, it would seem, to be faced with prosecutions than mainstream media are. So you're going to have authorized official media protected by the law, and everyone else who is now going to be subjected to an incredibly oppressive use of the law. I have to say, I agree with the earlier point. You know, one talks about a drift to authoritarianism, and, you know, one is a little reluctant sometimes to say that that's what's actually happening. But in Britain, at least, the facts speak for themselves. Craig Murray is in prison. The comments of dividing the media in that way between, official mainstream media and unofficial independent media have actually been made. And that consultation paper about official secrets has actually been published. And the government says they're going to move forward with legislation to enact all those ideas. So we are seeing a drift to authoritarianism, and I do think it's really indisputable.
And this consultation paper about official secrets, drawing the distinction between mainstream and independent media, this is why I wanted you to get to the discussion about, some may see it as inside baseball, but it's really a much larger international impact here, as it in terms of the for example, the New York Times being considered the paper of record in the United States, but we know that the CIA and other intelligence agencies use that paper to create narrative. So when independent journalists in this country contradict that narrative, they now fall victim to oppression by the establishment. Go ahead.
That's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head, and you have the New York Times and the Washington Post mm-hmm. and CNN who do that in the United States. And we have the Guardian, the Times, the Telegraph, and the Financial Times, especially the Guardian now. It's heavily used by the intelligence agencies. Everybody knows it, to propagate its particular narratives. And they're going to be the official media. And they can publish classified material because they do so with a stamp of approval. But of course, it's not actually, they're not actually carrying out reporting. They are being used by the power, the government, to plant leaks in order to construct narratives mm-hmm. and to shape opinion. And it's a kind of court journalism. It's a kind of official journalism. And, of course, other people who are trying to be journalists in a much more real sense, the kind of journalists who hold government to account, who try to find out what's really going on, who comment about what's really going on, they're going to face all the kind of pressures which we talk about. They may see their attempts to say what they're saying being suppressed, but now, beyond that, they could have the criminal law turned on them. And that's exactly what's happening. We're going to have insiders, privileged insiders in the official media who work hand in glove with those in power, and they're going to be protected. And they're not just going to be protected, they're part in a way of creating a, let's call it, a propaganda narrative. And anyone who contradicts it is now potentially in very serious trouble. And Britain, which is my country, is leading the charge on this. I suspect it's going to spread to more places, but Britain is the place where all this is being tried out and tested out.
And we just have about a minute and a half left, and whistleblowers are also in the crosshairs, front and center. They want to be sure that the John Kiriakous of the world just remain silent instead of coming out and speaking out on what they know in terms of government illegality, government murder, and other types of atrocities that the government is engaged in. We've got about 45 seconds.
You're absolutely right. So you can't actually be a whistleblower in Britain to leak a drone program, because if you do, that is equated now with spying for a foreign power, and you have no public interest defense. That's what the British government is going to do. And if, as a journalist, you publish that information from a whistleblower, as Julian Assange does, you also are working, you also are acting in a way comparable to a spy working for a foreign power, and you can be jailed too. It is the end of journalism as we have known it in Britain.
Alexander Mercuris, as always, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate that analysis. We look forward to having you back. Enjoy the rest of your evening.